Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
This is a little hard for me to admit because on Friday you discovered my secret shame.
I caught you red-handed. I'm glad that you want to talk about this because if you didn't,
yep,
I was going to put you out on
blast. I knew it. Yeah, I knew. I knew you were coming for me. I knew you were going to have like some sort of intervention because I need it.
You do need it. And remember, I'm here to help as much as I'm here to yell at you.
I'm self-admitting myself into rehab.
Yeah. Okay. Because, well, just firstly, remember, people listening, I think that this is more common. You were caught, so you're coming forward with it. I don't think if I saw what you were doing.
My husband hasn't even noticed this.
This is the issue. So remember, if you're listening, I think you might have someone in your life that is doing this behind your back, or you might be doing this secretly without anyone knowing.
I'm addicted to an app on my phone. And it's so embarrassing because it's the worst game ever, but it's the best game ever. And it's got me hooked. It's got its little hooks in me.
Well, do you know what caught my eye? It's one of those games where it's just got
bing, bing,
the
bing,
flashing
bing.
Yeah. Colors and all the sounds and whatever. And I was like,
it's so addictive.
What are you doing over there? What is this game that you're playing on your phone?
It's called Eat Venture.
Thank you for coming and sharing your story. What is Eat Venture all about,
Jess? This is so embarrassing. Essentially, it's one of those like games where you have a restaurant and you get customers come in and they will ask for things. So at the moment, I'm running a coffee shop. So a customer will come in and ask for a coffee. My little guy will go and make a coffee for him. They give it to the customer. I get coins and then I can upgrade things in my coffee shop.
Like a new coffee machine.
Add a coffee machine, add a sandwich maker. make my little workers work faster. So the more coins you get, the more upgrades you get, the better your restaurant becomes.
Is there a reward-based system for the amount of time you play or the amount of days you play in a row?
Yeah, so if you keep the app open, you get more coins. So when you have the app closed.
Is that why you were sitting with your phone just open the other day on it? Oh my God. It's worse than I thought.
You get notifications being like, where are you, boss? We need you. And so then I've been getting notifications and my husband's like, what's that? I'm like, nothing. It's nothing. It's no one. I feel like I'm cheating on him with my little guys in my game.
Now, again, like similar to games like Candy Crush and that.
Yeah.
That where you can like make in-game purchases.
Yeah, you can. I haven't made any purchases yet, Tim.
I imagine that like no matter how many coins you get, like there would be an option in this game to buy like very good equipment that would help your restaurant run quite well, I imagine.
Yes, there is. There's options. It's not like if you wait, if you have patience, you can get everything.
Ah, your downfall. Oh no.
If you don't have patience, you can actually buy and like some of this stuff, it's so easy to purchase. Like, I can understand how parents would hand their kid a phone and their kid just make all these
and
purchases.
And their kid's running a restaurant.
Right.
You know, they're trying to figure out payroll. They're trying to, public holiday rates. What am I doing here? You know,
it's like, it's an easy slope. Do you want to get $23 billion for just $9.99? Yeah. That sounds like an amazing deal. Think of all the upgrades I could make at my restaurant.
So why, when, because when I saw what you were doing, I said, what is that? You snatched your phone away.
And it's my secret shame.
Why are you ashamed of this game? Why? Are you hiding it from your husband?
Have you heard what I've just described?
I understand.
You think I want to be telling people about this?
I understand. Don't get me wrong. It's not cool. It's not a night. It's not a fun thing.
This is worse than saying that I'm addicted to Candy Crush. Like, this is embarrassing. I got really addicted to it when I was sick. You know, remember I had a couple of weeks off because I was so sick and all I could do was sit on the couch. And this is the easiest game to play because it doesn't take any brain cells. Just bing, bing, bing.
Built for you.
You're just spending cash. It's great. And then I was like, once I go back into the real world, I won't play it anymore. But it keeps calling me. Hey, boss. Where are you, boss? Come back. Did you forget about your coffee shop?
Yeah. You weren't built for management. I'll tell you right
now. I wasn't.
Now, even in this
stressed. Form. I have so many employees, Tim. They all have different needs.
Do we need to get your husband on the show?
I would be surprised if he actually has seen me playing this. Because I feel like I've been hiding it pretty well.
No, I don't think you would have been.
But he has said to me the last couple of days, like, you're always on your phone. Why? Like, just get off your phone and watch the TV with me.
Like, I'm trying to figure out rostering. It's actually really important that you don't speak to me right now.
This is Tim and Jess.
Jess, this is a pretty serious thing that we need to talk about here. I want to talk about criminals.
Okay.
I want to talk about crooks. Baddies.
Why am I picturing the Hamburglar?
Stealers is what I want to talk about. there was a big heist that took place overseas and got to be on the lookout.
A heist?
You don't want to be things stolen from you, right?
Yeah.
They're yours. Not anyone else's, but yours.
Don't take my stuff. Yep.
Over $588,000 worth of something was allegedly stolen in a heist.
A heist.
Heist. You say. Yes. and Jamie Oliver...
Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver's not happy. Now, this didn't happen.
Okay. I thought he was the thief.
No. Jamie Oliver.
Not my Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver. It wouldn't be very lovely jubbly if he stole,
no.
Would it? He's come out and said, all right, listen. He's come out and he said, got to be on the lookout for, in the food market, if someone's trying to sell you this one thing, this high-end version of this food, very suspicious because... a lot of it has been stolen from a big company called Neil's Yard Dairy.
Okay.
A London retailer and distributor. They were scammed out of more than almost $600,000 of English and Welsh cheddar cheese.
Wow, it sounds like about three blocks at the moment.
22 tons.
Oh, my God.
Of cheese was ordered to be delivered somewhere. There was someone posing as a distributor from the French region.
Wow.
And they were like,
yes,
this is our cheese. Yes, we bring that over to my container. That is my cheddar for me.
Sir, I trust your little twisty mustache and beret endlessly.
Nothing
please take
so
this cheese.
Suspicious. I have, yes, all my friends wear black and we all laugh like this.
It's the sound of your mildly racist.
It's not racist, it's offensive. There's a difference. yes, they stole 22 tons of the good stuff.
Wow.
Of this cheese.
So, Jamie Oliver.
He's concerned.
Okay.
He's concerned.
Be on the lookout. If you find cheap cheese, it's not really cheap. It was stolen.
If there's anyone's portraying to be the lorry lords of very posh cheese, most likely they'll be trying to sell this cheese on the cheap. And just be careful because this could be the very fresh cheese burglar. So what I thought we could do on 5223295, because that's a very weird thing to be stolen, right?
Yeah.
Like normally when you hear heists and you see movies.
You think jewelry, money.
Jason Statham isn't breaking into a vault.
You're like, give me that wheel.
But when you steal 22 tons of something,
yeah,
that's going to add up and you are going to steal a lot of money. Almost $600,000 Australian dollars
that's
worth
so
of cheese.
That's so much cheese.
5223295. If you've had someone like break into your house or maybe your workplace, what's the strangest thing they stole?
Right.
Because sometimes people that break into places, they're just like, what can I take?
Yeah.
Maybe they're not breaking in to get something specific like money, jewelry, those kind of things. They're just like, we'll just break in. We'll just take what we think is of value. Because value is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.
Like you might see like a Geelong Cats memorabilia thing that's only worth $100. But to you...
millions.
Millions. Priceless.
Yeah.
I'll have that. And unfortunately, break-ins, they are pretty common.
Yeah.
Not just here in Geelong, but right around Australia.
Mm-hmm.
5223295. Give us a call. I'm not going to do the French accent anymore. What is the strangest thing that was stolen from you?
Caleb in Thompson has given us a call on 5223295. Caleb, you had something stolen from you from the place that you were working at, right?
Yeah. A few years back, I was working at a pet shop, and the guys from the security company called me, and they said that the alarm went off, so I went down, and someone had cut the door open, the wall open. And stole about 10 grand's worth of flea and worming tablets.
I mean, without sounding like a criminal, I get it. It's so expensive.
They are expensive.
They are.
Well, this is that costly. Was my question to Caleb. Like,
case of worms.
Do you think they're? Yeah.
Was it for their pet or for them?
Was it for them? Their pet? Were they planning to resell it? Like, how many dogs do you have that you need to like break into a pet store?
Quite a few.
I was going to say just one. That yeah. It, honestly, you could steal a whole wall of that stuff, and it'd cover you for a calendar year. But yeah. it's one of those things. You've got it. There's a thing about owning like pets. You've got to do these kind of things. So maybe it was someone who just really was, you know,
Caleb,
trying to get ahead of it. Not trying to excuse it.
You said cut out through the wall. I'm also imagining them like literally slicing like a piece of sheet metal. Is that?
It was like a tin shed. So they cut the wall and peeled it open. Like
oh, my God.
That is very Ocean's 11-y.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever impressed.
I was going to say, did you track down the worms? But because I stole all the tablets, you wouldn't have been able to because they would have been perfectly healthy pooches.
Or perfectly healthy humans.
Yeah, true. Very healthy. Very, very healthy. Luke from Geelong's given us a call as well on 52232955. Luke, you were managing a shop and someone stole something a little bit strange?
Yeah, so during COVID, I was managing a petrol station and people would come and steal our toilet paper. But like, you know, the jumbo rolls, they would literally unroll it.
Oh my God.
To steal it.
Because I guess there was a toilet paper thing going on where people were just hoarding toilet paper from the shops.
So Luke, did you have like a key to the bathroom or?
Yeah, no. So it was just like a normal public bathroom in the service station. But the toilet roll was under lock and key, like, but they would literally unroll it from throughout the, like, the gap at the bottom.
Well, technically...
Desperate times, Sim. Desperate
but Luke,
times.
Is it stealing if they're just, like, if they're, like, I respect the work of them sitting there and pulling off 50 metres of toilet paper.
I'm pretty sure Tim stole toilet paper from our work when we're in, like, the depths of lockdown.
No. I just refuse to go to the toilet at home.
Yeah.
That's how I got around it.
Just stealing company time, yeah. I see.
So, and Luke, was this something that happened like once or did it happen multiple times?
Multiple times. And they also stole the light fitting, like the actual specialty bulb that went around the light bulb in the bathroom.
So it's not even going to work where they...
that style of light.
Oh, but then that's just inconvenience, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just... Now they're just like... You know, insult to injury. That's just not on. Now it's dark and there's no toilet paper and everyone's having a bad time.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I know that a lot of people today are starting to, because it's become a reality, 3G, the mobile network.
Yeah.
It's getting phased out. I believe as of this week, I think it's starting in Tasmania and I think it's going to be here in Geelong very soon. But 3G is going to be no more so that phone companies can put more, I guess, resources, energy, everything that was in 3G into 4 and 5G.
Yeah. I feel like this happened like, what, 6-7 years ago for 2G?
Yeah.
And we saw like a lot of people had to get new phones because their phone was obsolete.
And for older generations, this is an issue because now you can't use it for emergency services and those kind of things. So there's been lots of warnings and I'm sure a lot of people have been talking to their family members if they're affected that, hey, 3G is going to start rolling out. It was pretty much 21 years ago this month is when 3G rolled out in Australia. So it was...
And that was like advanced technology.
And it was. And what I thought could be fun is, do you want to have like a wind back to what Geelong and Australia looked like and some big things that were happening when 3G first came out?
Yes.
I thought this might be a fun trip down memory lane. So
okay.
In 2003, October 2003.
Okay.
John Howard was the Prime Minister.
Yes. He was the only Prime Minister I'd ever known.
Pretty
Tim.
Much. The average Aussie income was roughly $47,000 to $52,000 a year.
Oh my God.
In Geelong, it was $35,000 to $45,000 a year.
Okay.
The average house price in Geelong in 2003 was $200,000 to $250,000.
And what were we doing, Tim? Primary school.
Like idiots.
We should have been buying houses then.
The Cats finished 12th on the ladder. This was back when the competition had 16 teams. Brisbane won the grand final beating the Pies. Australia, they hosted the Rugby World Cup and they lost to England in the final in Australia. Ooh. On the sporting thing. Neighbours and Home and Away, they were dominating television screens across Australia. Not just like, oh, everyone loves Neighbours and Home and Away. It was a war.
It was
all a war.
Staple in my household. You had to watch Neighbours, then Home and Away.
MySpace was only a few months old, but starting to become very popular in October 2003. Low-rise jeans, cargo pants, and crop tops were the biggest fashion trends, with celebrities like Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, and Christina Aguilera. They were leading the charge.
And Jessica Kazi.
As fashion icons. Robert Irwin was not born yet.
Oh, my God.
He was born in December 2003.
Oh, my God.
Little Rob Irwin wasn't born yet. Bindi, of course, she was around, but Bob Irwin not born. The number one movie at the box office in October 2003. I mean, you'll never get it. Have a guess.
A scary movie?
No. Finding Nemo.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah, very obviously excellent movie if you haven't seen it. But this is the thing that shines bright to me. And you're either going to get this or you're not. What do you think the number one song in October 2003 was? Now,
oh God,
this took over from Black Eyed Peas, Where Is the Love, which was the number one ARIA charting song 4 weeks. This song, out of nowhere, no one predicted it, the number one song in Australia.
It wasn't like, what was that Big Yellow Taxi song? Do you remember that one?
No, it wasn't Big Yellow Taxi. Okay. I'm just going to play it.
Delta Goodrum, Born to Try?
No, but this was her year. Delta Goodrum had a massive year with Innocent Eyes and all those kind of things. I'm just going to play the song. And you, like, we'll tell from your reaction if this is making you happy. We've got to rise
up and fly like eagles. Yes! Rise up through the sky. We've got to rise up
over higher mountains. Rise up, rise up. What's Rise Up for people that might not know?
Oh, my God. Okay, so this was the first year of Australian Idol.
It was.
Shannon
Noel, Guy Sebastian were on this season.
M. Rossiano, Paulini, Ricky Lee.
This was the top 12.
Yeah.
So this was this was the live shows, and this was the first song of all of them singing collectively.
From the top 12 onwards, every week they would do a song together.
Yes.
And then they would go on to perform a song, each of them. This is, oh my God, this is bringing back so many memories. And they, essentially, they released this song as a single, and it went so well in the chart. It ended up on So Fresh Hits of Summer or something.
Number one. That's how good it was. Incredible. Rise Up.
Great song.
And it's just by the top 12. That's what it's referred to in the ARIA chart.
I think they played that at my primary school graduation.
As they should. Because it's perfectly written. I've been told from Chris, who runs the music here at this radio station, I am to not play that song in full.
Aww. Chris.
I know.
Come on, Chris.
No, I've been told.
Send your complaints about Chris.
Yep. And
his
why
name is Chris Holland.
And why his decision making is detrimental to this radio station.
You can send it at our KROQ website, krock.com.au, and demand that he plays Rise Up in full.
So again, that's what the snapshot of 2003 October, when 3G was rolling in.
Honestly.
Before it rolls back in.
I was going to say, if that's the year it started, maybe it's a good thing it's ending.
I mean, I want Rise Up to be, as 3G comes to a close, maybe we need to rise up again.
Yeah.
And maybe tomorrow we
can
rise up.
Send your emails through. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Tim, I read a really weird headline today. And it, you know when you read something, you go, oh, that's got to be clickbait, and I've got to click through to it anyway.
Well, that's the fun of clickbait.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you want to see the ridiculous story that is behind the headline, because it's like, all right, what have you done here and what's actually gone on?
Exactly. So the headline was, Helen Mirren says, it's so sad that Kurt Cobain died in 1994.
Okay.
And I went,
weird to bring up now.
Strange.
30 years on.
Literally 30 years ago. And Helen Mirren, I don't know her connection to Kurt Cobain. I was intrigued. I clicked through. It turns out she said that it's so sad Kurt Cobain never got the chance to see technological advancements like GPS before his death in 1994.
Now, Helen Mirren, like, she's the actress, right?
Yeah.
Like, long-standing, she's done so much work.
Yep.
And she's...
Why?
Unprompted bringing up...
Unprompted.
That she's sad that Kurt Cobain passed away because he didn't get to see things like GPS.
So strange. I don't know why. Apparently, this isn't even the first time that she's brought something up like this. She said that she's so sad that Kurt Cobain died without knowing the internet. And she's blown away by that every day. That was in 2015.
Why does she keep bringing up his name?
I don't know.
It's like she's like, what's a celebrity that everyone knows but is dead? It's Kurt Cobain.
The GPS thing intrigued me because she said he never saw GPS, and it's the most wonderful thing to watch, that little blue spot walking down the street. It's just, I find it completely magical and unbelievable.
I mean, Helen Mirren probably isn't driving herself around.
Yeah, that's true.
I imagine she's had a driver for a long time.
She's sitting there watching the little blue spot on Google Maps.
Like, oh, fingers crossed it goes left.
Woo! It got me thinking, though, like, before GPS, because I use my GPS constantly. I love it. I love when it, like, even if I know where I'm going, I still put it on because I like it telling me how long it's going to take me to get to wherever I'm going, right?
Yeah, sure. My mate, my best mate's the exact same. He goes to work. He drives from Armstrong Creek to Tullamarine every single day.
Oh, God.
And after a couple of weeks, you figure out.
You know where you're going. You know where you're going. Yeah.
Every day. And he's just like, it's good to know.
It's good to know. It tells you like where things are going. Anyway, I'm not doing an ad for GPS. What I want to talk about is before there was GPS, did you have a copy of the Melways?
Mate. I don't want to brag, but I'm the Melways guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I want to know, and was it Melways for Geelong as well? Because I mean, I grew up in Melbourne, so we had Melways.
Well,
and I remember asking someone from Queensland about their Melways, and they were like, Melways? What? Yeah. They call it Brisways up there. Ugh, yeah.
Well, it's mostly for the whole state.
Right.
So, because like I grew up on the other side near the Mornington Peninsula in a small town called Piercedale, and we had the Melways.
They were thick books.
Yeah.
They were big.
You get it from Piercedale to Horsham. I'll tell you how.
Well, and that's the thing. You'd have to look it up in the book before you started driving.
I reckon.
Because sometimes it'd be like, connect to page 73, and you'd be like, ah.
See, I'm almost certain, unless they've done some radical changes, where I grew up was page 156.
Really?
I knew that for a fact. And then I knew which corresponding pages if I was, say, heading towards like Dandenong City Way, or if I was heading to regional Victoria, like if I was heading out to like Mallacoota. Those kind of things. I would know how to get myself. Well,
this is the thing. Is there anyone out there right now that still has a Melways in the car and is still working on a Melways? Because surely,
if you haven't got one of the maps in your car or you can't put your phone up safely, it's a great way to get there.
Is there?
I mean, my mum did used to print out Google directions, which was my favourite thing. That I found that
17 pages.
I found that more challenging than the Melways. Then step by step, here's what you need to do. I was like, I'd rather use a topographical map and compass to figure out how to get there than what you've printed out for me. This is too much
so
for my brain.
So complicated. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Does anyone out there still use a Melways? I know it's like completely, like we may not get a call. Dave from Hamlin Heights, you have very vivid memories of a Melways, don't you?
Yeah, well, more so of mum and dad just having proper Barneys in the front seat. Like, I thought divorces were coming every second day if we went on a car trip.
Do you think it's bad now, Dave? Like, when someone's, like, directing you using Google Maps. Like, back then, they'd have to, change pages, try and figure out where they were on the page. Like, it wasn't like a you are here. You had to figure it out.
I completely understand it now. I get frustrated with Siri.
Yeah.
If the blue line's sort of too close to the other blue line and I wasn't meant to merge there, and I'm off it.
Yeah. I think when you go to the city in particular and it thinks you're in a lane that's you're not in, and it's like, what are you doing? It's like, no, what are you doing? Melways would never do this to me. Why are you hurting me like this?
Gary in Cario, you don't use a Melways anymore, but you know of people that still do, right?
Yeah. So I used to run a concrete batching company about 3-4 years ago for 6 years. And one of my drivers, who was probably about 60, 65 at the time, refused to use Google Maps. And it was always no ways. He swore by no ways. But the only problem was we did a lot of new areas. And so that didn't cover everywhere. So quite constantly, he'd be stuck somewhere with a truck full of concrete, not knowing where he was going.
God.
You'd live in fear of a new estate coming up.
Uh-huh.
Armstrong Creek and Melways are not friends.
With Dave saying about the fights that occurred, I think Melways and flat packs are a good way to start a divorce.
Every newlywed couple should have to put together a flat pack and direct somewhere they don't know in a Melways.
Exactly.
That's excellent. That's actually very good advice.
Azza in Hamlin Heights, Azza, you use a Melways. You still have one in your car?
I don't so much use it anymore, but I still have one in the back in the front seat, the driver's seat, there's a pouches in the back, so I've got one tucked down in there.
In case of emergency.
You just never know when you're going to have to break it out, right, Azza?
Well, he's got to break it out now because he's lost his service and he's got no idea where he's going. All right, Heidi in Melton, your ex-husband still uses the Melways.
Yes. He's a truck driver. He used to work in a bank and he started driving trucks about 40 years ago and he still uses the Melways. And when I go to visit him, I'm always stringing him up over it.
I mean, if it ain't broke...
Right. It seems to be a theme with like drivers, like delivery drivers, truck drivers. Maybe they don't trust the technology. They're just like, I need my physical Melways.
It's not that he doesn't trust it. He can't use it.
Ah, yeah. That'll, yes. Fear of power and knowledge. It's like, that's his version of AI. He's like, I don't understand it. I'm not going to use it.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, in the lead up to VCE exams, we wanted to help out the many, many students across Victoria and specifically Geelong and the Surf Coast and the Ballerine that are, you know, have been studying for months and months on end.
13 years, all building up to this.
Yes. I mean, not to put any pressure on, but yes, the English exam is starting tomorrow, which kicks off just a series of weeks of exams.
Yep. We wanted to do something. We like doing this every year. We're in the trenches with you. You might have someone in your family, a friend, you yourself might be doing exams over the next few weeks. We're going to get in the trenches. We're going to do some exam cram every single day on the show. Essentially, we're doing the next day's exam.
Yes. So today, there was no exams. Tomorrow, everything kicks off at 9 a.m. with the English exam, which I believe is compulsory for all students.
I believe so. So this is exam cram for the VCE English exam. Jess, you will be the examiner.
Yes.
Today, and I will be the student.
Okay. Question one. What is the plural form of the word moose, as in the animal?
Yeah.
A, meese. B, mooses. C, moose. Or D, moose eye.
that's what I used to call my grandma. No, it's C, moose.
It is, Tim. Well done.
I know my meese. Don't you know me?
I like moose eye, though.
Like, man, look at all those moose eye over there. Yeah.
What is the term for a word?
Sorry, is that going to be on the exam?
I haven't seen the exam. None of us have, Tim. But English we can prepare language, nonetheless.
The English language, again, very simple to manage.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get through it.
What is the term for a word that has the same meaning as another word? A, an antonym. B, a synonym. C, a homonym. Or D, a pseudonym.
A rim.
A what?
A rim. I was being a DJ. It's a synonym.
It is a synonym.
Thank you for giving me multiple choice and not making me just drown in the deep end.
I knew that you were going to struggle.
A synonym.
Good Lord. How did you actually do on your English exam?
It was one of my better ones.
Yeah, good. Which of the following is a palindrome? Do you know what a palindrome is?
We'll find out.
Okay. A, banana. B, race car.
Yeah.
C, bookkeeper. Or D, amazing.
It's race car.
It is race car.
Same forwards, backwards.
That's it.
Like boob. I'm just providing an example.
One of the better palindromes.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Tim. Which sentence of the following sentences is grammatically correct? Okay, I'm going to read you two sentences. You tell me which one is the grammatically correct sentence. A, each of the students have their own pencil. B, each of the students has their own pencil.
A.
No.
Oh, shit. But they have it.
They do have it, correct. But each is a singular, so it takes a singular verb. So has rather than have. So you would say each of the students has their own pencil because it's one pencil.
You have bored me with your answer.
You
hasn't bored me with your answer, Jess. You have.
Okay, I'm so glad that the next one is a similar question.
I'm lashing out like I did in my real exam.
Your poor teachers.
Yeah, I know.
Which sentence is grammatically correct? Again, I'm going to read you two sentences.
Yep.
A, there was an argument among the two best friends. B, there was an argument between the two best friends.
I think it's A.
It's not.
Why not? Because it was among them.
Yeah. Okay, so when you say between, it's used for two items or people, while among is used for groups of three or more. So
silly me.
If you're only talking about two friends having an argument, if it was between three friends, that would be grammatically incorrect. It would be among three friends.
Wow. So that I finished the exam.
Yes.
How did I do, teach?
Not bad. Three out of five is pretty good.
So what that
would have been a passing mark.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Depends how well the other students across the state do.
Yeah,
where
true.
Did you fall on the bell curve? Who knows?
Lisa, yeah, you beauty. All right, well, hopefully that's helped if you are cramming or stressing about the exam. You've got to remember, Jess and I had wildly different scores and inputs at school. They're both here.
Yes. So, Jess, it doesn't matter.
It all shakes out in the wash, but we're going to keep doing it.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.